Let's turn now in the scriptures to the passage from which we were reading. That's Matthew chapter 1, reading again verse 21. Matthew 1, and we'll take our text in verse 21. The words of the angel addressed to Joseph. And she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Try to imagine the emotions of Joseph as he confronted the situation which is described for us in this chapter. He'd found this beautiful young Israelite girl who seemed to be faithful, to be spiritually minded, who seemed to be upright in her life, and he had become engaged to her so that he would become her husband, so that she would become his wife. And yet, as the weeks, as the months are progressing, it is becoming increasingly obvious Mary is pregnant. And Joseph is having to wrestle with this shocking, disturbing, horrifying situation. He's facing this prospect of being publicly exposed to ridicule before the world as a husband who has chosen a woman who has then gone off with other men. All his hopes of a happy, peaceful, settled married life with this woman that he loved, all these hopes now dashed. He is feeling, no doubt, deeply, personally betrayed. And yet, now comes the message that changes all of that. The message of the angel to say, this child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This child is sent from God. Here is no betrayal, but here is the blessing of God himself in the most extraordinary manner. And though Joseph will not be the natural father of this child, this child will have no father but God himself. Yet still, Joseph will be entrusted with being the legal guardian of this child. You hear the words of the angel, thou, Joseph, shalt name this child Jesus. Joseph was to take responsibility for that child as a part of his household, as a part of his home, to raise that child. To raise him bearing this name, Jesus. Now, we mentioned last Sabbath morning that we're going to take over a few weeks some texts from the first four chapters of Matthew, which speak to us of the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sabbath morning, we spoke about the identity of Jesus from his genealogy, the family tree, which is given in the first 17 verses. Now we come to the name that Jesus was given. And we see that this is a very special name because it is given by the angel himself. Jesus must be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And therefore that will be our theme for a few minutes this morning. The identity of Jesus from his name. Let us think, what does the name Jesus tell us about this child? Why was it so vital that he bear that name? And what is the message of that name for us? Children who are here, do you know what the name Jesus means? And put simply, express simply, it means Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour. And what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? That Jesus came bearing the name of Saviour, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's see then, firstly, Jesus is the divine Saviour. Jesus is the divine Saviour. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Jesus was a common name. It wasn't a strange, unusual name that Joseph was given to give to this child. Jesus was a common name. It was an Old Testament name, the name Joshua. It's rendered differently in our New Testament because the original language of our New Testament is Greek, and Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua. But it is, of course, the same name, and the difference is retained in our Bible to help us to distinguish between the different people called Joshua and Jesus in the text of Scripture. So Jesus, then, is a common name. It's a name that had actually been coined by Moses. Moses himself had invented a new name. He had given this name to his trusted, faithful servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, who would eventually become his successor. The children will remember that Joshua was one of the spies sent in to spy out the land of Israel, to see what it was like before the people would invade to conquer that land for themselves. And we're told in Numbers chapter 13, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Oshea, that was his name before. And the name Oshea means salvation. But not salvation in the sense of something achieved. Salvation in the sense of something desired. It's like a cry, salvation. The longing for salvation. It's a good name for a child born a slave. And that, of course, was what Joshua the son of Nun was. Born in the land of Egypt. Born in slavery, born in the humiliating, degraded circumstances of the people of Israel at that time. And his parents gave him that appropriate name, Oshea, salvation. But when Moses brings this man out and is telling him to go into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, Moses says, that name's no longer appropriate. The Lord has saved. The Lord has brought us out. And therefore he gives to him a new name, Jehoshua. It's the same name, Oshea, but with a new syllable added on the front. Jeho. It is the holy name of God, Jehovah, in an abbreviated form put onto the front of that name. Jehovah is salvation. So that's what the full form of the name Joshua means. Jehovah is salvation. Salvation is no longer something longed for desperately, hopelessly. No longer is it appropriate for him to be Oshea. Rather, he is Joshua. He is Jehovah is salvation. And so it is a name that itself expresses faith. And now you see here in the New Testament, another Joshua is born, the Lord Jesus himself. Jehovah is salvation. Another one appointed to be a saviour. It was prophesied in Luke chapter 1 to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He was told that the Lord has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. So Jesus was raised up to be a saviour, just as the people in the Old Testament had themselves known salvation. Let's stress that. It's so important. Jesus came to save. As we have it here, call his name Jesus, for he shall save. There are many true things that we can say about Jesus' ministry in this world. It's true that the Lord Jesus came as an expression of love from God to his people. It's true that Jesus was a great teacher who taught many wise and many good moral teachings. It's true that Jesus came as a great example of godly living. It's true that Jesus was himself the Son of God and came to reveal God to us. All of these things are true, but that's not the center of the mission of the ministry of Jesus. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Never miss this. It is the center of the gospel. Jesus came to save. He was indeed a savior. He came to fulfill the promises of salvation all the way through the Old Testament. It speaks to us also of his divine character. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah. And now here was a child born and required to be given this name. Jehovah is salvation. It brings before us. It indicates the true identity of this child conceived not by man, but by the power of God. It brings before us that here is a child who is truly the Son of God, who is himself divine, who is himself God. Remember these words of the Lord Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I am the great Jehovah. I am the faithful covenant God of Israel. I have come to save. Jehovah is salvation. And so Jesus came, you see, to be himself the salvation of his people. Jehovah in Jesus was indeed salvation. He came to assure, to make certain the salvation of his people. As John writes, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He is God's appointed Saviour. He is one like Joshua of old. Children, what do we know about Joshua? Can you remember what you've learned about Joshua in the past through stories or through the teaching that you've had in Sabbath school? Joshua was an important figure in the history of the Old Testament. We're told of him as the commander of Israel's armies, as the general. At one time we're told of a great battle where the Amalekites, a wicked heathen tribe, attacked the people of Israel, trying to destroy them. And we're told that down on the plain, Joshua was leading the battle against the Amalekites as the general. And Moses, he was up in the mountain, watching the battle with his arms upraised, seeking the Lord's blessing upon the people engaged in the battle. Joshua was leading the fight. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He leads the battle against the forces of evil. He came to do battle against spiritual evil, to cast out demons, to overcome the evil one, to triumph at last upon the cross of Calvary over all evil, over all sin, over all death. The great victory, the great Saviour sent by God. Then again, Joshua was somebody who spoke the truth. Remember, Joshua was sent as a spy into the land of Canaan. And there were 10 other spies. And they went through the land and they came back and said, oh, the people are very strong. You know, they've got chariots and some of them are huge men like giants. They're very powerful. They're very strong. We can't possibly fight these people. We'll never conquer this land. And Joshua, he looked with the eyes of faith. And he and Caleb, they came back and they said, this land is bread for us. It is before us. The Lord has given it, and therefore let us go in and take possession. And just like the Lord Jesus came preaching the gospel, preaching the way of salvation, so Joshua spoke the truth. And so we hear truth from the Lord Jesus. He speaks the truth of salvation. He is God's appointed Saviour. Joshua was the one appointed to lead the people of Israel through the wilderness, to prepare them and ready them for their crossing into their promised land once Moses had died. Joshua was appointed to lead them, to guide them over Jordan, to bring them into that promised land. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He leads us, his people, through this world. He guides us away from temptation. He guides us into the right paths. He brings us to the Jordan. And he leads us over that Jordan into God's promised land. He is the great Joshua, the great Saviour. And at last we're told of Joshua that he was the one who divided an inheritance to the people of God within their promised land. And so it will be with Jesus. Jesus, who has gone to prepare mansions in heaven for his beloved people. He is the one who will divide our inheritance to us, who will grant us our portion of everlasting life, if indeed we are his people. So you see, he is the great Joshua. He is the great Saviour. And I challenge you, as you hear this name this morning, Jesus, who shall save his people from his sins, what does that name mean to you? Do you look on that name? Do you hear it said? And do you think, I love him. He is my Saviour. Do you hear the name Jesus? And does your heart thrill within you to think, yes, he is mine. And I love him. And I trust in him for all eternity. Do you? That is the mark of the child of God. The child of God trusts in Jesus for salvation. Oh, may that be true of each one of us, that we put our trust in the Lord's appointed Saviour, that we trust in Jesus and find his blessed salvation. And that, you see, brings us to our second point. We've considered Jesus as the divine Saviour. See Jesus as his people's Saviour. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. He shall save his people. He looks upon his own. He loves his own. And for the sake of his own people, he has come. We were reading, weren't we, in Hosea, about the love and the compassion of God. That yet, though his people have gone astray, though they've gone and worshipped idols, though they have rebelled and gone into ways of sin, yet he is still the faithful husband. It's not that he says sin is okay. He condemns sin and hates sin. But he makes a way of return, a way of repentance, a way of forgiveness, a way of restoration. And Hosea, you see, illustrates for us so perfectly the love of the Lord Jesus, who came to bring his people back unto himself. Even the name itself speaks to us of the Lord Jesus. Hosea. It's the same name as we've been speaking of already. Hoshea, the son of Nun. And we said that name means salvation in the sense of desiring it. Hosea, exactly the same name. It's rendered slightly differently in our English Bible, but the same name. Again, the desire of salvation. And so it is. The Lord Jesus comes to satisfy that desire of salvation. The Lord Jesus comes to draw his people unto himself. You might think, well, that doesn't offer me much comfort. I don't know if I'm one of the people of God or not. And to that we can only respond, well, what marks out the people of God? What identifies them in this world? Says the Lord Jesus, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Lord Jesus' sheep respond to his voice. It doesn't mean that they're born perfect. It doesn't mean they never do anything wrong. Quite the opposite. Jesus is the shepherd who has to pursue lost and wayward and rebellious sheep. Sheep who get themselves into all sorts of scrapes, into all sorts of danger and hurt and harm. But you see, the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. And if we are his people, then we know his voice. And when we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus in his gospel, in his scriptures, calling to us, when we hear that, our hearts are drawn with yearning to respond to him. If you feel your heart drawn by the Lord Jesus, if when you hear of Jesus who shall save his people from their sins, if you feel a yearning for him, a desire for him, do you not see that that is the call of God to you? The call of the gospel, the call to come to salvation. The only thing that can assure you in this life that you are one of God's people, if you do indeed respond to that call, if you are indeed trusting in Jesus, if you are indeed seeking to walk in his ways, that is what identifies the people of God from a wicked, sinful world. This world does not desire Jesus. This world does not seek to follow him. That marks out those who are not the people of God. They hear the call and they stop their ears to it. They will not listen. What about you? Are you listening? Is your heart being drawn? Would you like Jesus for your Saviour? then hear the call of the gospel, and will you not come to him, even this day? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will we not hear the loving call of the Good Shepherd and come and embrace the Lord Jesus? Jehovah is salvation. Let us think on it, and let us desire that the Lord Jesus, the great Hosea, the loving husband, would indeed call us to himself, and would indeed allure us to himself, as the loving, patient, forgiving spouse that he is, drawing us back once more, we who have sinned, we who have done wickedly, back into his household again, as his precious and beloved people. He is his people's Saviour. And then we come thirdly to see that Jesus is his people's Saviour from sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this is vital to understand, because many people in Jesus' day, they understood that he was somebody special, but they didn't understand precisely what he was coming to save them from. They were a conquered people. They were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And they believed Jesus is going to be the great king of the Jews, who will lead us all in a great military uprising, whereby we'll throw off the Roman Empire and become again a strong, united military kingdom. They thought that Jesus was a mere political leader, and they looked to him for that kind of national salvation. Understand, that is not what Jesus brings to you. He doesn't bring a political salvation. He doesn't bring a military salvation. He doesn't bring a solution to your medical problems or a solution to your psychological problems. He's not here to address every issue that you have, every difficulty that you face. We are faced with many difficulties which we must deal with all through this life. He comes to save you from your sins. And if you truly understand your sins, then you will realize that is the only problem I face that really matters. It is the only problem which has eternal consequences. If I recognize I am a sinner, I am guilty in the sight of God, then I recognize before me there comes the judgment of God. Before me stands the dreadful punishment of God against sin and against those who continue in rebellion against him. Before me stands the judgment. Therefore, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is when I must find mercy. And praise be to God that he has sent Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. The children will know what it's like to walk through a muddy field. I remember one time when I was a little child, a wee bit older than wee James. I was in my wellies and I was walking through a very muddy patch of ground. You know what it's like when you sink your feet into mud and, oh, it's stuck. It won't come out. And you come and bring the other one and try to get a wee bit of weight on that to lift it out, and the other one's stuck as well. And I was caught, trapped entirely in a big muddy patch of a field as a small child. And I was there for about half an hour with my welly stuck in the mud, struggling to get out and unable to pull myself out, until eventually I saw my father coming along the road, and of course he was able to lift me out of my wellies and then rescue the wellies one by one out of the deep mire. Now you see, sin is like that. It clings to us, it sticks to us, and it holds us. And the reason it holds us so tight is because we like it. We enjoy sin. We enjoy wickedness. And so our heart sticks to it. And our heart loves the sin so much. It's like a magnet pulling us, drawing us. And we cannot break away from that. You see, you need a saviour. You can't get out by yourself. You're like the little boy stuck in his welly, stuck in the mud, powerless to get yourself out. Your desires are too strong and sin is too attractive. Jesus came to deliver us from so great a death, to deliver us from sin and to deliver us from the eternal consequences of sin. And how? How does Jesus deliver us? He delivers us as a priest. You know what a priest is? Someone who stands between man and God to make a sacrifice. And that is what the Lord Jesus did. He made a sacrifice on our behalf. He offered up himself, his own body, his own life in our place, so that the Lord would accept that sacrifice instead of the death that we deserve to die forever in hell. The Lord Jesus, you see, is the great high priest. And that refers us to yet another Old Testament figure. One final one to mention. Joshua. Another Joshua. The high priest of Israel. Joshua, who was the high priest at a later time in the history of Israel, when they were returning from their foreign exile in Babylon. And Joshua was the high priest who rebuilt the temple and re-established the pure worship of God. It's significant. He bears the same name as the Lord Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Joshua was the man who brought the people of Israel back to their own land, back to their own city, and back to the pure worship of God once again. He points us, you see, to the great high priest, to the coming high priest, whose sacrifice would indeed pay for our sins. It becomes quite explicit in Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah prophesies, saying, "Take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne." Remarkable words. They indicate that he's speaking of Joshua the high priest, not just of himself individually, but of the greater high priest to whom he is pointing. The high priest who will sit upon a throne, who will reign, who will be exalted, who will truly bear the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the great high priest, who is now exalted at the right hand of God, on his throne as the priest who has paid for the sins of all his people. This is the Saviour who is proclaimed in the name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, the great, the final Joshua, who pays forever for his people's sins. Let us indeed worship, praise, adore him who is revealed through his name. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Just as we draw to a close, let's apply this to ourselves. If you are one of his, and if you are assured that you are one of his, then be encouraged as you think about the work of Christ. See him as the great high priest who pays the price, who clears the debt, who achieves salvation. No doubt, no dubiety, he does the work. He shall save his people from their sins. And if you are assured that you're one of these people, is that not a precious thought? Must not your heart bring forth worship to the Lord Jesus when you reflect that he truly is your salvation? To him be the praise, to him be the glory for this marvelous work. But if you feel this day that you are not one of his, if you feel that you're still standing at a distance, then realize that the offer is still open, that the name Jesus is still the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe. And realize that the Lord Jesus still extends his same offer of salvation unto you. He is still a loving, merciful Saviour to all who will come to him. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Don't you see, you come with that guilt, but in Jesus there is complete cleansing. There is perfect righteousness in him. What therefore must you do? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Let us hear the words of the Lord Jesus, and let us respond to him in love, and find that he is indeed God's appointed Saviour. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let us come before him in prayer. Let us pray. O holy Lord God, we worship thee, we magnify thee for so great a salvation. We marvel at thy blessed achievement on the cross of Calvary. We praise thee as the great appointed high priest. We marvel that thou art indeed the great Joshua, the great Saviour, the great and merciful Saviour, who will indeed lead us over the Jordan into our promised land. We look unto thee this day, that thou wilt be our Saviour, that thou wilt love us freely, and that thou wilt give us the fulfilment of that salvation in due time. Continue with us and grant us thy presence in Christ's precious name and for his sake. Amen.